So I'm Paul Kasuma from Utah State University, and I'm going to be talking about far red and phytochrome and the phytochrome photoequilibrium. So just to start out a little bit with the basics, phytochrome is a molecule that plants use to sense whether or not they're in the shade. There's two forms. It's sort of like an on and off switch. PFR is the active form, and it's called PFR because it absorbs far red radiation. When it absorbs far red radiation, it turns off into the PR form, which is the red absorbing form. And the theory of it goes that the best way to predict what will happen when a plant is in the shade by changing morphology, it's best predicted by the ratio of your active pool of phytochrome to your total pool of phytochrome. And so this graph I have up here is basically weighting factors for the two forms of phytochrome, how strongly they push against each other. So if you take each of those wavelengths and multiply it by your spectra, then you can begin to get an idea of how much the two forms are pushing against each other, and you'll reach this equilibrium state of PFR to P-total, also called phytochrome photoequilibrium or the photostationary state. So to get very broad, if we look at this from an ecological perspective, if we take a spectroradiometer, go out into the full sun of the Nevada area, this is what the spectra will look like. And we're interested in this region from 700 to 800 nanometers. Whether or not this is what we should define as far red is still yet to be determined. Maybe it should only be about 700 to 750 or only to about 780, but starting with this 100 nanometer bandwidth is a pretty good place to start. So if we look at take another spectral trace underneath a tree, it'll look something like this, and you can see that there's a relative increase in that far red radiation compared to the rest of the wavelengths. And that's because the chlorophyll are absorbing all the blue, green, and red radiation, so the far red gets relatively enriched. Plants sense this relative enrichment through phytochrome, and they're able to respond accordingly. So if we compare to a species that's growing out in the sun, it might look something like this on the left. If you take that same species and move it into the shade, one of two things will happen depending on what the species is. And this is very broadly speaking. You can either get a shade avoidance species, which is when it elongates its stems a whole lot, has pretty small leaves, and it's really just trying to reach out of that light. The other thing it might do is increase its leaf area. It generally grows a lot slower because there are less photons available to it because it's all being absorbed by the chlorophyll up in the tree. But they increase that leaf area. And as a controlled environment group, what we're interested in is maximizing that leaf area. So if we apply far red photons, and as a quick side note, with far red LEDs, they're about as efficient as red LEDs, so we can readily apply them. And theoretically, if we look at Planck's equation, they'll be even potentially more efficient than a red LED. So in a controlled environment, we can apply these far red photons and get that increase in leaf area, which will increase photon capture and increase growth rates. At the same time, if we look at something like stem length, we're not so interested in that in controlled environments. In a lot of times with something like a leafy green, we don't even want a long stem. With something like tomatoes and cucumbers, we might be able to work around it, but it's still good to know how much that stem length is going to stretch by adding far red. So as I mentioned earlier, the theory to predict how much the stem length or the leaf area will increase from adding far red photons is based on this ratio of your active pool of phytochrome to your total pool. And the way we estimate this is we take that solar spectra, either the full sun or the canopy shade lines, and multiply each of those wavelengths by the weighting factors I showed in the previous slide. And that gives you an idea of how strongly each form is pushing against the other form, and eventually they'll reach an equilibrium state. And that gives you the best indicator of some plant morphology. The question then comes up of where do those weighting factors come from? So this gets into a fairly long history, This is work by Butler, Hendricks, and Seigelman in 1964. This is the group out of Beltsville that actually discovered phytochrome. And in 12 years before this paper came out, they did seed germination experiments, applying red then far red to seed germination. Then, over the course of 12 years, they were able to extract it. And in 1964, their paper came out where they used narrow bandwidths of light, and they were able to see how fast the two forms interconverted. And from there, they could get an idea of how much, what these weighting factors would be. 2 years later, Lee Pratt and Winslow Briggs did similar work, but it was in vivo. Winslow Briggs, as just a quick side note, big name in photobiology. He died at the age of 90 earlier this year. But 15 years after these papers came out, nothing really happened with these weighting factors. But the phytochrome research definitely continued. It was kind of picked up largely and popularized, I think, by Harry Smith out of England. And Harry Smith was really the proponent and popularizer of this idea that it's that ratio of active phytochrome to total phytochrome that induces morphological change and can be a predictor of morphological change. So since Harry Smith was popularizing this, we needed a way to predict what that PPE would be. So Harry Smith's way to do this was to use a red-far-red sensor, which was pretty cheap at the time. And by measuring red-to-far-red ratio, you could get, he had a graph with red-to-far-red on the x-axis, and on the y-axis he had PPE, and you could quickly estimate PPE from a red-to-far-red ratio. The problem with this, and Harry Smith says it in a book on controlled environments in the 90s, that red-to-far-red really shouldn't be used to predict PPE in the environments that we work in, which is controlled environments. It works really well in the sun when you have roughly a 1:1:1:1 ratio of blue to green to red to far red. But when you start working under electric lights, you start to get strange ratios of colors, and then the red to far red is no longer very predictive of PPE. So he warns against that. So then what do we do in controlled environments? In 1982, Gardner and Graceffo came out with a paper where it uses now readily available computers and spectroradiometers to begin to predict PPE by having those weighting factors in the computer and taking a spectral trace. And now, as I mentioned earlier, you can apply the weighting factors to each wavelength. Throughout the 80s, phytochrome weighting factors became real popular. So we have Vierster and Quayle in 1983, Seyfried and Schaefer, another in vivo study in 1985, and Kelly and Ligarius again in 1985. So these papers, they were improving extraction techniques for phytochrome. The Butler paper was partially degraded, and they had better equipment to measure better spectrophotometers, basically, to measure how fast the two forms were interconverting. In 1987, Kelly and Ligarius come out with another paper with a more detailed analysis. Here, they're not only looking how fast the two forms are initially interconverting, but more of an equilibrium approach to how quickly they're converting. And they work with William O. Smith and Karen Sir on this paper. And the two of them go on to work with John Sager. And I think a good portion of this room is probably familiar with Sager et al. 1988. And pretty much whenever we write papers on with far-red research, we cite Sager. And if we look at the citations of all of these people, by far Butler is the most heavily cited. However, if we look at citations since 1988, Sager becomes the most heavily cited. And the reason for that is, as I mentioned, all of us in this room are basically using Sager and none of these other people really. The main reason for that is basically Sager provides a really convenient table in the back of his paper for these weighting factors, whereas the rest of these people, you have to either call up the author or call up the journal to get the factors, and it's all a bit convoluted. Just as another quick side note, I got interested in a lot of this through this book, Pigment of the Imagination, by Linda Sage. And I think anyone working in phytochrome and far-red, this should be required reading. Okay, so if we go back to Harry Smith now, as I mentioned earlier, he was the one who really popularized this ratio of active phytochrome to your total pool of phytochrome. He actually gives credit to Daphne Vince Proulx for this idea in some supplementary piece of one of her journal articles. But as you can see, it's a great indicator of stem extension rate. And 40 years later, there's a paper by Eugene Park and Eric Runkel. I think I saw Eugene in the back of the room. And it still is a great predictor of stem length. The problem with a lot of these studies is the fact that they keep the background light about the same, and they only really change the ratios of far red and then red. So what we wanted to do was see what happens when you start really altering that background spectra. And so what we did is we applied about 10% far red photons to a high blue background. That was a cool white LED, a high green background, which was a high pressure sodium, and a high red background, which was about 80% red LEDs and about 10% white LEDs. And you can see that the lines just don't line up anymore. It's the estimated PPE by applying, in this case, Sager's weighting factors. It's just not a great predictor of stem length. The reason for this, what I think it is because if you look at these weighting factors, they're predicted and estimated in etiolated tissue. And that's not really what a plant growing in anything beyond a seedling stage, that's not what it perceives. If you have a plant cell here, the green represent the active PFR, blue are the inactive PR. In reality, they're masked by a whole bunch of chlorophyll. And as I mentioned earlier, the chlorophyll is absorbing all the blue, red, and green radiation. So what then do the phytochrome actually see? So instead of what's normally done of measuring the spectral distribution above the leaf, we wanted to take the leaf, put it above the spectroradiometer, and measure spectral distribution that way, and then apply the weighting factors. And you can see that the lines line up a lot better. Now, this was done in cucumber, and it's obviously, I wanted to show my best data set, and this is my best data set. But in general, we see a similar trend with lettuce and spinach. There does appear to generally be a pretty large blue offset, despite even trying to use this modified PPE. And obviously that's due to the fact that there are cryptochromes interacting, which makes the whole story a lot more complicated. And I think I'm going to end on this slide, but I want my main takeaway from this presentation not to so much be that this is what we should be doing with PPE, measuring it underneath a leaf, but rather that the research in phytochrome photoequilibrium didn't stop with Sager and Harry Smith, and it should still be continuing. I think I have 2 minutes for questions. If a leaf or a stem is growing above with five layers of leaves above it rather than one, what then happens? It becomes a lot more complicated. And what I've seen is I tried doing this very experiment under different intensities even, and the problem is we no longer get a linear response. What we want to see, though, is not necessarily a linear response. We want to see the green, blue, and red lines line up on top of each other. I have a slide right here which follows this up. And this is transmission through one leaf layer. And applying the PPE factors to this, we get these new weighting factors. What would happen with multiple layers of leaf is that green portion would fall way down. But I think the far red would still stay much higher. What this basically does is create a scenario where you're looking at more of a percent far red, I think, rather than even PPE in general, possibly.
All right. Thank you.
All right.